ॐ अजनतमिनन्दस्य जनाजनाशलकया चक्षुसमिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनुविष्टं स्थपितां येन भूतले सायं प्रगदमायं ददति सवनन्तिकम् मन्त्रकपतुर्व्यश्च कृपसिन्धुवैव च पतितनं भवनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः Kodama Muni has just left for the forest after his wife Devahuti had given birth to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, as Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, though explains that his birth is not ordinary. Ajopi sam avyayatma bhutanamishvaropi sam prakritistam adhishtaya sambhavat yatmamaya. That when Krishna comes as himself the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or as Lord Kapila Dev, he comes not forced. He comes for his own purposes and by his own will, due to his own desire, and by his own internal energy. He's not forced by the external energy, by Maya, as we are forced to take birth with no choice as to what family we will be born in, what country we'll be born in, what we look like, what our intelligence will be. We have no choice about these things. These things are all dictated by the material energy, the external energy. When Krishna comes, it is completely different. Sambhavam yatmamaya. He comes by his mercy and by his internal energy. So, as was previously arranged, because Kodama Muni, before he accepted Devahuti as his wife from her father, Swayambhuva Manu, it was arranged that when the child was born, he would leave home and go to the forest. And indeed, as soon as Kapila Muni was born, Kodama Muni approached him in a secluded place and prayed to him. And even though he had the Supreme Lord himself as his son, still to teach how detached one must be, especially at the end of one's life, Kodama Muni still left home. And he said, and Kapila Muni told him, and Brahma also said, that don't worry about Devahuti, because Kapila Muni himself, the Lord, will instruct her about that process that will remove all her ignorance. Because she found herself, when Kodama was about to leave home, she felt very, very, very bad, very sad. She found herself, her husband, who was practically speaking her spiritual master, and such a powerful, great sage, a sadhu full of knowledge. He was leaving, and therefore she felt sad, very unfortunate, that she had not taken advantage of his association to cut the bondage of Maya caused by ignorance. So, Brahma had already told her, though, that Kapila Muni would do that. He would speak to her the process or the yoga known as Sankhya Yoga. So we're going to hear from now on, from this chapter 25 till 33, till the end of this canto of the Bhagavatam, we're going to discuss Kapila Muni's teachings to Devahuti. And in these verses today, we will hear the precursor, or the verses just prior to Kapila Muni's words, when he begins to explain the process of becoming free from Maya. Right now, we are so happy to be in Maya. We are asleep on the lap of the witch Maya. We're trying to enjoy. Everyone has their own objects of enjoyment that we're planning to do and to become happy by. But actually speaking, on the lap of the witch Maya, no one can become happy. Everyone can be chasing the happiness. The example that Prabhupada sometimes gave was the donkey with the chasing the carrot. The carrot is on a stick hanging in front of him, and he's pulling such great loads, he's chasing after the carrot, which he imagines is going to be bring him happiness. That's the impetus for him to move forward and to do his work. So similarly, in the material world, we all have carrots that we are particularly individually attracted to. Something that we think, as soon as I catch it, then I'll be happy. But it is so elusive and we never catch it and we have to work so hard. Because factually speaking, that which will make us happy simply does not exist in the material world. In the combination of the senses and the sense objects, that will make us happy exists beyond the physical platform and beyond the mental platform. It exists when the soul, when ourselves, us, the real us, will make us happy. It exists on the platform of our true selves, when the soul, the eternal, our true selves, connects with Krishna and opens like a blossoming lotus flower. Our relationship with him opens and we are living in that. That is actually that which will make us happy. But these other things simply won't. Regardless of what our dreams are and what our plans are, they simply won't. So in this part of Kapila Dev's teaching, especially in the second half, in the later chapters of his teachings, he preaches so heavily in a very devastating way. If we have material plans and we want to enjoy these material plans, I don't think we should come to those classes if we are determined to enjoy our material life. I'll give advance warning. And everyone who wants to enjoy material life shouldn't come to those classes. They're so heavy. He just rips apart material life. Very, 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 very cut, cut, cut. He just rips it apart. And actually it awakens renunciation within the heart. But we'll get to that. So here are the precursor verses. Kapila Muni in his teachings is going to describe the process of Sankhya, the process of developing detachment from the material world, as well as the process of becoming attracted to Krishna. Because if we become attracted to Krishna, the sweetness of Krishna's form, his personality, his activities, his pastimes, his actions with his friends, his qualities, all that we are looking for to complement ourselves, it is found actually in Krishna. So Kapila Muni is going to explain the process of yogic meditation to attain that, but ultimately he's going to be talking about bhakti. So on one hand, he's going to describe the entirety of the material world and how the soul is different from that. The process of cutting that attachment, because we are here in the material world due to this, as we've been hearing about so many times in this canto, due to this desire to catch the carrot at the end of the stick, and we are just jumping after it and working after it, and we think we're almost there, but we never quite get that which will bring the satisfaction that we are really looking for. So Kapila Muni is going to explain why, and the basic reason is that there is no connection between us and matter. We are souls. So we have to break that illusory identification with matter, which is caused by ignorance, avidya. And how to break the bondage of ignorance? Through the light of knowledge. So he's going to give knowledge, and then he's going to say, explain how to find Krishna through the process of Astanga Yoga, which really and ultimately brings us to the point of bhakti. And then after that, he's going to explain what happens. He's going to give us impetus to get out of this chain of work, enjoyment, chain, because it's called fruitive actions or karma, that we work to gain something. And so he's going to, again, Kapila Muni is going to rip apart the concept of the ability to gain happiness through this type of work. And then Devahuti, he's going to speak this philosophy to, assimilates it all and becomes perfect. So that's what will happen, preview of the next chapters. So now we're going to the outer layers of this story, because Suta Goswami is speaking to Shonaka. And what is he speaking? He's speaking what he heard Sukadeva Goswami tell Maharaj Prickett. And what did he hear Sukadeva Goswami tell Maharaj Prickett? He heard him tell of the meeting between Maitreya Muni and Vidura, when Vidura asked questions. And what was the nature of the questions? And that is the dialogue that we're hearing. Because Maitreya Muni is explaining to Sukadeva about the teachings. At this point, he explained about the marriage of Kardama and Devahuti. Now Kardama Muni has left. Now Devahuti is going to hear the philosophy of Sankhya from her son. So Sonika Rishi is speaking to Suta to continue, encouraging him to continue this narration. So Sri Sonika said, because he's just heard about that Kapila had been born, Kapilas tattva sankhita bhagavanatma mayaya jatta sayam ajashakshad atma pragyaptaye nrinam. So Kapila Muni, who is tattva sankhita, maybe we can put the volume a little bit down, he is bhagavan atma mayaya. Kapilas tattva sankhya, he is the speaker of the tattva, or the truths, philosophical truths of Sankhya philosophy, and he is Bhagavan. So the Lord has come to speak this tattva, this truth of the Sankhya philosophy, and he has come atmamayaya, by his own power, by his own mercy. Jata sayam ajashakshad atma pragyaptaye nrinam. So he himself has done this. He has taken birth in this family. He himself has done it. We take our births again by extra power, external power. We are forced to take birth. But he, jata sayam aja, by his own potency, the aja, the unborn, ajopi samavayatma, by his own potency, the unborn, he comes. And for what purpose? Atma pragyaptaye nrinam. To disseminate, to teach. Atma pragyaptaye means to explain knowledge of the atma, or transcendental knowledge, knowledge of the soul. And what is that knowledge of the soul? That is knowledge beyond this world, beyond the material world, beyond this universe. It is knowledge that descends into the universe by Krishna's mercy. And so Krishna brings this knowledge into the universe as Kapila Muni, because he is outside of this universe in transcendence. So he's bringing this knowledge in for the purpose of the benefit of the human beings, for our benefit. Why? So we can take advantage of it and get out of the material world, get out of this this cycle, this vicious cycle of birth and death, and so much suffering, and so much hope, and so much frustration, so much sadness and frustration in this material world. Hope, sadness, and frustration. Hope forever lives within the breast of man. But if our hope is to enjoy this material world, who may forever live there, as the donkey is hoping that he'll get the carrot one day. But ultimately what happens is frustration and then death and then such sadness, because our plans, all our desires become crushed in time. So he's come to bring light in this world of darkness. So we'll read the first paragraph of this purport. So Shonaka Rishi is saying that Kapila Muni's come, he's descended, the Lord has descended. The word Atma Pragyapteye indicates that the Lord descends for the benefit of the human race to give transcendental knowledge. Material necessities are quite sufficiently provided for in the Vedic knowledge. So this first paragraph the Prabhupada has written explains the Vedic system and its purpose, the purpose of the Vedas. In the Vedic system, material necessities are sufficiently provided for with Vedic knowledge, which offers a program for good living conditions and gradual elevation to the platform of goodness. In the mode of goodness, one's knowledge expands. On the platform of passion, there is no knowledge, for passion is simply an impetus to enjoy material benefits. So when one is in goodness, under the control of the mode of goodness, one is very satisfied. And one can actually, in goodness, he can perceive himself as different from his body. But once one is in passion, the desires of the mind are saying, now you do this, and now you do this, and you have to get this, and move towards this, and get that carrot. And one has no... the mind isn't peaceful enough and is to be able to perceive. There's not enough happiness. There's only the hope for happiness, trying to get material benefits. On the platform, and then there's ignorance. On the platform of ignorance, there is no knowledge and no enjoyment. So in passion, there is some enjoyment and suffering and plans and desires. But in ignorance, there is neither knowledge nor enjoyment, but simply life almost like that of an animal. Ignorance, madness, inertia, intoxication, the happiness in ignorance brings one further in ignorance. It is just trying to forget the pain of life. But the trouble with the ignorant system of trying to remove the pain is that it ultimately brings further and deeper pain. So Shonaka Rishi is explaining, he's asking, or really he's asking to tell more about this, about Kapila Muni. Shonaka continued, "There is no one who knows more than the Lord himself. No one is more worshipable or more mature a yogi than he. He is therefore the master of the Vedas, and to hear about him always is the actual pleasure of the senses. Buddhi tripyanti me sava." That means that if one can somehow or another awaken the consciousness to hear repeatedly about the Lord, about Krishna, or to see his form, or to taste his prasadam, then that is actual pleasure for the heart, for the senses, the heart and the senses. So Shonaka Rishi is saying he wants to hear more about Kapila Muni, because to hear about the Lord who knows everything, and when you think about it, if the Lord is completely free and he knows everything, what is he going to do when he comes to this world? He's free, he's independent. He knows everything. He can do anything he likes. What will he do? So Shaunaka Rishi is very eager to hear what is it that Kapila Muni will do. What will he explain? And he knows that hearing that will bring great pleasure to him. So Prabhupada explains in the purport of about that, about hearing about Krishna, or hearing from Krishna. To hear from Krishna is the real pleasure of the senses. Therefore, he is known as Govinda. For by his words, by his teachings, by his instructions, by everything connected with him, he enlivens the senses. Whatever he instructs is from the transcendental platform, and his instructions, being absolute, are none different from him. So we're actually, through hearing about him, we're actually associating with him. We are tasting the sweetness of being with him, of his association. Hearing from Krishna, or his expansion, or plenary expansion, like Kapila, is very pleasing to the senses. Bhagavad Gita can be read or heard many times, but because it gives great pleasure, the more one reads Bhagavad Gita, the more he gets the appetite and read and understand it, to read and understand it. And each time, he gets new enlightenment. That is the nature of the transcendental message. Similarly, we find that the transcendental happiness, and we find that transcendental happiness in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The more we hear and chant the glories of the Lord, the more we become happy. So if anyone's happiness quotient is low and ebbing, this is the system for increasing our own happiness, to hear and hear and hear more and more about Krishna. And we find that it's true. Even though the mind tends to want to run towards material, mundane things, but if we somehow or another place ourselves in a situation where we can hear, and we hear about Krishna and chant his names and look at his beautiful form, then actually we become happy. And a taste grows more and more. So Shaunaka continues with these three verses. He's completing his request to Suta Goswami to speak about Kapila. He says, therefore, please precisely describe all the activities and the pastimes of the personality of Godhead, who is full of self-desire and who assumes all these activities by his internal potency. So in the word kirtanyan anukirtayani, kirtaya, Prabhupada explains that this means you should please tell me what you have heard in disciplic succession, because this knowledge about the Lord, it cannot be understood in an ascending manner, not by our own power. It comes outside of this world. Golokeda premadana harinama sankirtana. It comes from the spiritual world descending into this material world. And Prabhupada will explain later that this comes and we receive it through disciplic succession. So now Suta Goswami begins his reply. He's going back a few layers of the story. He says, the most powerful sage Maitreya was a friend of Vyasadeva. Being encouraged and pleased by Vidura's inquiry about transcendental knowledge, Maitreya spoke as follows. Maitreya said, when Kardama left for the forest, Lord Kapila stayed on the strand of the Bindu Sarova to please his mother Devahuti. When Kapila, who could show her the ultimate goal of the Absolute Truth, was sitting leisurely before her, Devahuti remembered the words of Brahma from the last chapter, that Brahma had spoken to her, and she therefore began to question Kapila Dev as follows. So she remembered that Brahma had said that Kapila Muni will instruct her in such a way that the knot of her ignorance is cut. And what is the knot of the ignorance? When a knot, again, is you tie two things together with a knot, two ropes or a piece of wood in a rope or something like that. So we, who are souls, are tied to the material world by the knot of false ego, which basically means a spirit of enjoyment. So that must be cut. So he's going to give instructions that will cut that So that's what Brahma told Devahuti, and that knot is formed by ignorance, thinking that there's some way if we do something we'll be able to enjoy, and it's just around the corner. May not have happened yet, but it's around the corner. If I just try a little harder, I'll make this arrangement. So in the last chapter, Brahma told Devahuti that the Lord would instruct her. So Devahuti said to Kapila Dev, I am very sick of the disturbance caused by my material senses. For because of this sense disturbance, my Lord, I have fallen into the abyss of ignorance. Your Lordship is my only means of getting out of this darkest region of ignorance, because you are my transcendental eye, which by your mercy only I have attained after many, many births. So this is very interesting. She says, I'm very sick of the disturbance caused by my material senses. We usually think that our senses are the cause of our pleasure. And when the senses become agitated, meaning that they want something, what do we think will be the cause of our happiness? We think getting, fulfilling the demands of the senses. Indriyas, indriyas, yate, raga, dvesha, vyavastita. This is the usual concept of life. When I say we, I mean we've all been trained in that school to think that the purpose of life is to enjoy the senses. And when the senses want something, we should immediately gratify them. We should immediately do it now, quick. Don't let anything stand in the way. That's why people are so interested in money. Because with money, what happens? You get power. And the power ultimately for what? It means to enjoy life, which means basically sense enjoyment. So Devahuti is saying something just the opposite. She's saying that I'm sick of the disturbance caused by my material senses. They are whipping me. They are beating me. The senses want something and the mind becomes attached to getting it, and everyone, the whole, we get pulled along so strongly. So she says, Nirvana Nitaram Bhumam. She said, Nirvana means disgusted. Nitaram means very disgusted. Bhumam. Oh my Lord, Nirvana Nitaram Bhumam. Oh Lord, I am feeling great disgust. Asat indriya tarshanat. Asat means by the temporary indriya, the senses, tarshanat, by the agitation, the disturbance, the constant wanting something, the pull of the mind, the frustrations, the passion, the desires caused by the senses. I am sick of it, no more. Actually, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has said, when someone comes to this stage of being sick of it, of deciding that material sense enjoyment is not that which will make me happy, he explained that when someone comes to that stage, that is the greatest step one can take in his spiritual life. So she's saying, Asad Indriya Tashna, Nivana, I'm disgusted by it no more. They whip me, they force me to do so many things I don't want to do. It brings me misery. So then she says, and because of this, because of my being led by the senses, Yena Sambhav Yamanena Prapanandam Tama. Prabhu means, oh my Lord. And because of this agitation is so prevalent in my consciousness, prapana, I have fallen, andam tama, I have fallen into an abyss of ignorance, of darkness. Because when one's mind, one's consciousness is full of these desires, the light of our spiritual life becomes covered. So it's like an abyss of darkness, very graphic. An abyss. What do you think of when you think of an abyss? What picture comes to your mind?
Falling into a dark hole and never reaching the end?
Yeah. I think of like a... Yeah.
You're stuck in the well.
Huh?
Stuck in the well.
Stuck in the well. Somehow I think of like a mountain with a crevice. You're walking along trying to climb the mountain of your happiness and you fall into this crevice takes you to the center of the earth where you can have something like that, and you are caught in the darkness and it's hellish and damp and you're hungry and frightened and it's cold and you can't escape and you can call out and you can cry and you're stuck. So she's comparing it to this very heavy, and therefore she's approaching Kapila Muni. So Prabhupada explains in his purport, the eternal sensory activities are called devotional service, whereas temporary sensory activities are called sense gratification. Unless one becomes tired of material sense gratification, there is no opportunity to hear transcendental messages from a person like Kapila. Devahuti expressed that she was tired. We're also tired sometimes, tired of during the classes also, but this tiredness of the frustration of trying to enjoy material life is a great, the cynicism about the possibilities of enjoying material life is very positive for spiritual life. So Prabhupada says, Devahuti expresses that she was tired. And also Prahlad Maharaj says, Matirna Krishna Paritaksvitova Mityo Vipadyeta Grihavatanam, that if one has taken the vow in his mind, he said, I want to enjoy Grihavrata, then Matirna Krishna, an attachment to Krishna, when the mind is attracted to Krishna, Matirna Krishna, it will never come. Not if Matirna Krishna Parataksvatova. If someone else preaches to you, if you preach to yourself or a group of people come and talk to you, it will, as long as one wants to enjoy material life, if that's one's deep determination, an attraction to Krishna will never come to his heart. So therefore, she is not in that spirit at all. Her mood is just the opposite. I'm finished. I don't want material life. I want spiritual life. I need help how to get out. And she approaches Kapila Muni. I'm very fortunate to have met you after many, many births, because Samsaradava Nadalila Loka was traveling for so many births in this material world. And I'm in darkness. I'm in the crevice, the abyss of ignorance and darkness, not knowing how to get out. And you are my transcendental eye. Think about what that means. You are my eye. Through you, through your instructions, I will be able to see. Again, these are the instructions coming from above, from the spiritual world into the material world, to the conditioned souls. So this is why Kapila comes, to give the conditioned souls this transcendental knowledge that can free them from the abyss of ignorance. So Prabhupada explains in his purport to this verse. This verse is very important, instructive, since it indicates the relationship between the spiritual master and the disciple. The disciple or conditioned soul is put into this darkest region of ignorance. And even that which he thinks is knowledge, the conditioned soul, is ignorance. It's just within the realm of darkness. Just like someone may have the knowledge how to cut, how to turn the metal on, and make something on a lathe, with the lathe, and so we consider that a skill or knowledge. But that's actually within the realm of ignorance. And knowledge, on the other hand, is that which frees us from ignorance. And again, it doesn't come at all from the material world. It descends into the material world by God's grace. So the disciple or conditioned soul is put into this darkest region of ignorance, and therefore he's entangled in the material existence of sense gratification. It is very difficult to get out of this entanglement and attain freedom. But if one is fortunate enough to get the association of a spiritual master like Kapila Muni or his representative, then by his grace one can be delivered from the mire of ignorance. The spiritual master is therefore worshipped as one who delivers the disciple from the mire of ignorance with the light of the torch of knowledge. That's that verse we say. Om Ganatam Hindasya Jana Jana Salakaya Chaksus and Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurve Namah. Our eyes are closed due to ignorance. That means we can't see anything as it is, and our spiritual master opens our eyes with the torchlight of knowledge and gives us the ability to see. The word paragam is very significant. Paragam refers to one who can take the disciple to the other side. This side is conditioned life. The other side is the life of freedom. Freedom from what? Birth, death, old age, disease, that kind of thing. The spiritual master takes the disciple to the other side by opening his eyes with knowledge. What kind of knowledge? Knowledge, first of all, the nature of the material world, the nature of the soul, the nature of the body, the nature of our relationship with Krishna, and the process of attaining that relationship with Krishna. Sambandhagyan, avideya, and prayojana. Prayojana means the necessity, the goal, that which we actually, in our heart of hearts, long for. We are suffering simply because of ignorance. By the instruction of the spiritual master, the darkness of ignorance is removed, and thus the disciple is enabled to go to the side of freedom. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita that after many, many births, one surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, if after many, many births, one is able to find the bona fide spiritual master and surrender to such a bona fide representative of Krishna, one can be taken to the side of light. So Devahuti continues speaking to Kapila Dev. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the origin and supreme Lord of all living entities. You have arisen to disseminate the rays of the sun in order to dissipate the darkness of the ignorance of the universe. Now, be pleased, my Lord. Be pleased to dispel my great delusion. Due to my feeling of false ego, I have been engaged by your maya and have identified myself with the body and consequent body relations. So she's explaining, this is the darkness, this identification with the body, with the hope of enjoying the false ego, that which ties us to the soul, which is spiritual, to the material, to that which is gross matter, the body. And because of the tying of the soul to the matter, this is called ignorance, we have to suffer so much in darkness. So Prabhupada explains in his purport, this is about a third of the way through. The Lord is merciful. If anyone wants to forget him and enjoy this material world, he gives him full facility. Not directly, not Krishna does it directly, but through the potency of his, through the agency of his material potency. What is his material potency called?
Maya.
Through Maya, by Maya's grace, he gives him full facility to enjoy the material world, to make the attempt to enjoy the material world. Therefore, since the material potency is the Lord's energy, indirectly, it is the Lord who gives the facility to forget him. Devahuti therefore said, my engagement in sense gratification was also due to you. Now kindly get me free from this entanglement. By the grace of the Lord, one is allowed to enjoy this material world. But when one is disgusted with material enjoyment and is frustrated, and when one sincerely surrenders unto the lotus feet of the Lord, then the Lord is so kind that he frees one from entanglement. Now, I'm going to read that again, because it's actually very important, and it's important for each and every one of us, because it gives hints as how we can get out. By the grace of the Lord, one is allowed to enjoy this material world. But when one is disgusted with material enjoyment and is frustrated, and when one sincerely surrenders unto the lotus feet of the Lord, then the Lord is so kind that he frees one from all entanglement. So it takes that change of heart inside, that takes a prayer that my dear Lord, for so long I have been trying to enjoy as if I was the center of existence and as if I was actually capable of enjoying. Ever since I've come into this world, and for so many previous births, I've been making my attempt to enjoy, but now I'm stopping. Now I no longer want to enjoy this world. So when there's a heartfelt prayer and calling to Krishna in that way, then Krishna, who is the Lord of the material energy that binds one to the material world, he frees one from the entanglement of Maya. It's Daiviye Shikunamayi Mama Maya Dratya Mamevate Papanyante Mayame Tantarantite. Krishna says, therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, first of all surrender, and then I will take charge of you and free you from all reactions of sinful activities. Sinful activities are those activities performed in forgetfulness of our relationship with the Lord. So Devahuti continued, I have taken shelter of your lotus feet because you are the only person of whom to take shelter. You are the axe which can cut the tree of material existence. I therefore offer my obeisances unto you, who are the greatest of all transcendentalists, and I inquire from you as to the relationship between man and woman and between spirit and matter. So she's saying, first she surrenders this tam tva gataham sharanam sharanyam, that you are that person who is worthy of taking shelter of sharanya. I mean, the one who is worthy of our taking shelter of, in other words, putting ourselves completely under his care. And therefore I am taking shelter of you, because you can cut. This is what I want from you. I'm begging you, you are be like the axe that will cut the tree of material existence. So she offers her obeisances to him, and she puts forward her inquiries. Prabhupada explains in the purport. So she's going to ask about the relationship between prakriti and purusha, which can be translated as male and female, or the material energy, and the nature of the soul's entanglement in the material energy between, it can mean spirit and matter, it can mean the living entity and the soul, and the living entity and the Lord. So she's asking about these things. So Prabhupada explains, Devahuti questioned Kapila Muni, because she knew that only he could cut her attachment to this material world. So we, after hearing, no matter how much we hear how miserable and rotten the material world is and how we're not going to be happy, we still remain attached to it. But Krishna can cut this. The living entity in the guises of men and women are trying to enjoy the material energy. Therefore, in one sense, everyone is Purusha, because Purusha means enjoyer. And Prakriti means enjoyed. In this material world, both the so-called man and so-called woman are imitating the real Purusha, the real enjoyer, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is actually the enjoyer in the transcendental sense. Whereas all others are Prakriti. Prakriti means feminine or enjoyed, or nature. The living entities are considered Prakriti. In Bhagavad Gita, matter is analyzed as apara, or inferior nature, which is beyond whereas beyond this inferior nature, there is another superior nature, the living entities. Living entities are also Prakriti, or enjoyed, but under the spell of Maya, the living entities are falsely trying to take the position of enjoyers. This is the cause of samsara bandha, or conditional life. Devahuti wanted to get out of conditional life and place herself in full surrender. The Lord is Sharanya, which means the only worthy personality to whom one can fully surrender. Because he is full of all opulences, if anyone actually wants relief, the best course is to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, after hearing, Maitreya Muni responds after hearing, he's narrating this, the questions of Devahuti to Kapila Muni. After hearing of his mother's uncontaminated desire for transcendental realization, in other words, her desire was not trying to get something, but rather she wanted to know, to be a transcendentalist, to be situated in the absolute truth. She didn't want anything material out of it, so it was uncontaminated. So after hearing his mother's uncontaminated desire for transcendental realization, the Lord thanked her within himself for her question. From within, he didn't say thank you very much for your questions, but internally he was thanking her because her desire was pure, and he smiled. Diya Abhinandya thanked her for mentally Atmavatam, and he began to explain to her Atmavatam Satam Gati. Bhavase means he explained the path of those actually interested in transcendental life. He's going to explain that to her. And then Smita Sobita Ana, his face was smiling very beautifully. So he's now going to speak that path, the transcendental path, which is very interesting. Prabhupada explains, Satam Gati, the path of the eternal, is very interesting to persons who are after liberation. And his Lordship Kapila began to speak about that path. So we'll hear something, the beginnings, the first steps on that path. We'll hear that tomorrow. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Somehow we have to keep ourselves immersed in Krishna Katha and thinking about Krishna and hearing about Krishna and planning how to do to serve Krishna. Keep, that's Krishna consciousness, keep ourselves immersed in our natural identity as a servant of Krishna. And that's what Prabhupada actually explains, Tandira Charana Sevi Bhakta Sanivas Janame Janame Hoye Abhidas, that to be the purpose of the temples is to keep us in contact always with the hearing process about Krishna. This is because it's transcendental energy. And this is the shelter. We're looking for the shelter of the transcendental energy instead of the material energy. We need that shelter. So either by hearing or chanting or serving or deity worship or washing the floor or garden or this or that, somehow or another, gain that shelter, continuous shelter of Krishna's internal energy. That's what we need. That's what we long for. Okay, we'll stop now. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Kapila Muni ki jai, Devahutti Ma ki jai. Gaur Premanandaya.